Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Probable Cause and First Amendment Retaliatory Arrest Claims Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On June 18, 2018, the Supreme Court decided Lozman v. City of Riviera Beach, Florida, a case involving a claim of retaliatory arrest in violation of the First Amendment. Fane Lozman moved to Riviera Beach, Florida in 2006, where he lived on a floating home in the Riviera Beach Marina, a part of the city designated for redevelopment under the city's new redevelopment plan that would use eminent domain to revitalize the waterfront. After hearing news of the plan, Lozman became an outspoken critic and filed suit against the city in June 2006 after a special city council emergency meeting to push through the redevelopment plan before the governor of Florida signed a bill into law that would prohibit the use of eminent domain for private development. Later, at a public city council meeting in November 2006, Lozman began to discuss the arrest of a former county official during the public comments portion of the meeting. He was interrupted by a member of the city council who, after exchanging words with Lozman, called a city police officer to dismiss Lozman from the podium. Lozman refused to leave the podium without finishing his comments. The police officer warned him that he would be arrested if he did not comply, and, upon the continuance of his comments, Lozman was arrested for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest without violence, charges later dismissed. In 2008, Lozman filed suit in federal district court against the city of Riviera Beach, claiming that his arrest had constituted unlawful retaliation by the city due to Lozman's earlier opposition to the redevelopment plan. The jury found that the arrest had been supported by probable cause, which the district court concluded must defeat Lozman's First Amendment claim of retaliatory arrest. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit affirmed that judgment, but the Supreme Court then granted certiorari to address whether the existence of probable cause defeats a First Amendment claim for retaliatory arrest. By a vote of 8-1, the Supreme Court vacated the judgment of the 11th Circuit and remanded the case. In an opinion delivered by Justice Kennedy, the court held that the existence of probable cause for Lozman's arrest for disrupting a city council meeting did not bar his First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim under the circumstances of this case. Justice Kennedy's majority opinion was joined by the Chief Justice and Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, Alito, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Gorsuch. Justice Thomas filed a dissenting opinion. And now, to discuss the case, we have Lisa Saronin, Executive Director of the State and Local Legal Center.
The issue the Supreme Court was supposed to decide in this case was whether the existence of probable cause defeats a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim as a matter of law. The court did not decide this issue. Instead, it held that the petitioner in this case did not have to prove the absence of probable cause to bring a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim against the city. According to the court, petitioner in this case alleged that high-level city policymakers adopted a plan to retaliate against him for protected speech and then ordered his arrest when he attempted to make remarks during the public comment portion of the city council meeting. So what we don't know following this case is whether in a typical retaliatory arrest claim, where a police officer arrests someone where there is probable cause that the person also engaged in First Amendment protected speech, whether the existence of probable cause to arrest ends that case. But we should find out more about that next term, which I'll discuss later. As Justice Kennedy explained in the opening paragraph of his opinion, this case is complicated because two issues converge in it. First, a person can be arrested for probable cause. Second, the First Amendment protects people from being retaliated against for engaging in protected speech. So it's the facts of this case that really bring the legal issues to life. In 2006, Fane Lozman moved his floating houseboat to the city-owned marina. He discovered that the city planned to redevelop the marina using eminent domain, and he became an outspoken critic of the plan. He frequently spoke during the public comment period at city council meetings, up to 200 times, the Supreme Court claimed. Then, he sued the city for violating Florida's open meetings law. So the plot thickens, as it often does. In June 2006, the City Council held a closed-door session, in part to discuss the lawsuit that Lozman had filed involving the open meetings law. Council member Elizabeth Wade suggested the city use its resources to intimidate Lozman. Later in the meeting, a different council member asked whether there was a consensus of what Ms. Wade is saying, and others responded in the affirmative. Lozman alleges that these remarks formed the official plan to intimidate him. The city says that all that happened in this meeting is they developed a consensus to invest money and spend resources to try to prevail in the litigation. So the board meeting 5 minutes later, during the public comment period, Lozman starts talking about corruption in Riviera County, not Riviera City, and the arresting of a former official from a nearby city. Now, Riviera had a policy of only allowing people to speak on city business at the board meeting. So Councilman Wade told Lozman to stop talking. He refused and he was arrested. If you'd like more information on this arrest, you can actually watch it on YouTube. It only lasts about 30 seconds. So Lozman was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, but the charges were ultimately dismissed. He sued the city, claiming it violated his First Amendment free speech rights. He claimed he was arrested in response to the city's plan to redevelop the marina and his opposition to it, and for his lawsuit against the city. Now at trial, Lozman loses. And importantly, before the Supreme Court, he concedes that there was probable cause to arrest him, presumably for being told to leave the podium and refusing to do so. The 11th Circuit had held previously that if an arrest is supported by probable cause, a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim cannot be brought as a matter of law. So when the Supreme Court analyzed the legal issues in this case, it noticed that this case is really an anomaly when you compare it to most retaliatory arrest claims. Here, Lozman isn't suing a police officer under Section 1983 for taking an unconstitutional action against him. Instead, he was suing the city for maintaining an official policy of retaliation against him. So the court says, what we have to do in this case is we have to decide between which line of cases we want to apply. The first line of cases is the Mount Healthy line. Per Mount Healthy, the plaintiff must show that the retaliation was a substantial or motivating factor behind the government action, here arrest. And if that showing is made, the defendant can only prevail by showing that the government action would have been initiated without respect to retaliation. So this test is pretty favorable to Lozman. After all, it's pretty easy for him to show that the city was likely motivated by a dislike of him when they arrested him. Hartman versus Moore is the second case the court may apply. In this case, the court held that to bring a retaliatory prosecution claim, a plaintiff must show there was no probable cause to prosecute him or her. So essentially, the city was arguing that Hartman should be extended from the retaliatory prosecution context to the retaliatory arrest context. Now, the court said, in general, we like the idea of extending Hartman to retaliatory arrests. After all, in the United States, 29,000 arrests are made each day. Moreover, police officers have to make split-second decisions. All arrests involve speech, so it can be difficult for an officer to determine whether they really arrested a person because of speech or because they wanted to arrest the person for another violation. On the other hand, there is a presumption of regularity in prosecutorial decision-making. This same presumption of regularity does not apply to arrests. What the court ultimately said is this, that it wasn't going to choose between whether to apply Mount Healthy or Hartman in a typical retaliatory arrest claim, because Lozman's case wasn't the typical retaliatory arrest claim. Again, Lozman here was suing the city, not a police officer. He claimed that the city had a policy of retaliation against him, not that an officer had to make a split-second decision whether or not to arrest him. The court said there'd be no flood of litigation in this case because of the unique nature of it. And also, Lozman was complaining here to the government, which the court described as high-value First Amendment speech. So for all of these reasons, the court said that Lozman can bring a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim, despite the fact there was probable cause to arrest him. Now, none of this is to say that Lozman will win at trial. The Supreme Court said that the Court of Appeals may want to consider a number of factors, like, will the Court of Appeals necessarily agree that the city really adopted a policy to retaliate against Lozman? The court might also want to consider if the city was even really acting per that policy. And the Supreme Court said the lower court may want to consider whether, even if the city had a policy of retaliating against Lozman, it might have wanted to arrest Lozman in this case because he just couldn't stop violating their policies for conducting open meetings. So this case is really and truly a unique case. It is hard to think of any other Supreme Court decision where the Supreme Court has said, Lozman or any party, you win because the facts of your case are so unique. But it may be that someone brings a case that's very similar to yours, but they can't win. There's just something about your case. That's kind of what the court said in this case, and that's a pretty rare thing for them to say. There are lots and lots of interesting tidbits about this case, which I will now discuss. So the oral argument in this case was one of the best I have ever attended. The justices were clearly struggling with what to do about this case. The court discussed at length two very different factual scenarios. One of the factual scenarios it discussed was the facts of this case. To the justices, it seemed pretty obvious that the city of Riviera really disliked Lozman and were tired of his antics and had arrested him as a result of that. Justice Roberts went so far as to call the video chilling. But the court also discussed another scenario at length. That's a scenario where there's, say, a bar fight, and there's one police officer, and he or she can only arrest one or two people. And he or she happens to arrest a person who also said some speech that may be protected by the First Amendment. Should the officer then be liable for a First Amendment retaliatory arrest violation? That was the scenario that troubled the court. Now, the United States filed an amicus brief supporting the city of Riviera. It was argued by Principal Deputy Solicitor General Jeff Wall. He did a fantastic job of explaining to the court that most First Amendment retaliatory arrest claims are nothing like this case and that the court shouldn't make a rule for bad facts. In the argument, Jeff would have had about 10 minutes. And I would say in 3 to 5 of those minutes, he just went through all the lower court cases that he exclaimed were more typical and nothing like the facts of this case. And he was uninterrupted and the justices were absolutely riveted. Another thing that was interesting about this argument is that another case actually dominated the oral argument. At times, you'd have thought that this case, rather than Lozman, was the case before the Supreme Court. This case is called Nieves versus Bartlett, and it was decided by the Ninth Circuit. The state of Alaska filed an amicus brief basically saying to the court, Nieves represents more of the run-of-the-mind cases, as Justice Kennedy would put it. And what's interesting is next term, the Supreme Court has actually agreed to hear Nieves. And in this case, the court will have an opportunity to decide once and for all if generally probable cause bars First Amendment retaliatory arrest claims. So the facts of Nieves are fantastic. Nieves was attending Arctic Man, a snowmobile race. And for whatever reason, police officer Nieves tried to talk with him and Bartlett declined. A few minutes later, Bartlett began yelling at a separate police officer called Officer White. He told White not to talk to a minor. And Officer White ended up pushing Bartlett. So Nieves, seeing this exchange, worried that maybe Officer White was in trouble. So he arrested Bartlett. So while Officer Nieves was arresting Bartlett, he said to him, I bet you wish you would have talked to me now. So Bartlett sued Officer Nieves, claiming he was arrested in violation of his First Amendment right not to speak to Officer Nieves. So like I said, that case will be decided next term, but without Justice Kennedy, the writer in this case. So you might wonder, how did the justices line up in this case? It was an 8-1 decision written by Justice Kennedy. Very narrow decision at that. Justice Thomas wrote a dissenting opinion, and against my better judgment, I'm going to read the first paragraph of it because it's kind of a hoot. We granted cert to decide whether the existence of probable cause defeats a First Amendment claim for retaliatory arrest under Section 1983. Instead of resolving that question, the court decides that probable cause should not defeat a unique class of retaliatory arrest claims. To fall within this unique class, a claim must involve objective evidence, an official municipal policy of retaliation formed well before the arrest in response to a highly protected speech that has little relation to the offense of arrest. No one briefed, argued, or even hinted at the rule that the court announces today. Instead of dreaming up our own rule, I would have answered the question presented and held that plaintiffs must plead and prove a lack of probable cause as an element of a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim. I respectfully dissent. So before I conclude, I want to talk about two more interesting facts about this case. First, this issue has been to the Supreme Court one time before, and that was in 2012 in a case called Reichel versus Howards. In that case, Mr. Howards touched Dick Cheney at a shopping mall and lied to Secret Service officers about it, which violates a federal statute. He claimed he was arrested for expressing objections to Cheney about the war in Afghanistan. In Reichel, the Supreme Court granted the police officers qualified immunity. The last fun fact about this case, which I think says a lot about the case, is that Lozman and the city of Riviera have been to the Supreme Court before. The issue in the earlier case was whether a floating houseboat was a vessel per federal admiralty statute. I do believe Fain Lozman won that case, as he won this case as well, at least before the Supreme Court.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.